Well, we've been discovering in this series called Supernatural Faith that faith has its anchor in an unseen realm, that faith lives from the realm of the invisible towards what is visible. Faith enables us to live from the kingdom of heaven. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 puts it this way: faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is the undergirding reality. It is the proof of the existence of another world. And we're to be a people who live by faith, who walk by faith. And the scriptures show us that we can be those men and women who have a supernatural faith. But we're going to need to learn some things about what faith is all about. And really, this series, and any series on the subject of faith, is a call to have a divine encounter with God. It's really a call to have an experience of God that is based on His Word. And it's something I want to invite you to today. God is the object of our faith. Our faith is in Him. Our faith is not in ourselves. It's not in our efforts. And our faith is not in our faith. That's important to say as well. But a divine encounter with God is going to occur if we step into the realm of supernatural faith. Now, we got three messages to go in this series. And I got to say that this one, I think, is the one that we all have to work the hardest at to kind of unpack what it means. It's got the most rigor in terms of things to think about. So I'm going to ask you to put your thinking caps on, have your Bibles open. We're going to cover a lot of scripture and a lot of stuff. And then I hope that you will also go home and reflect on this message and take it further. A huge part of our ability to live by faith involves the area of our minds. And the renewing of the mind is what enables us to step more appropriately into supernatural faith. By the way, there is a war in the realm of the mind for the believer. I don't know if you've noticed that. There's an actual war that's aimed at you from the evil one. He will try to take you down in your faith by speaking to your mind, by whispering lies and bringing thoughts to you that will derail you. The battleground of faith is in the area of your thoughts. The good news is that God is ready to renew your mind. And you can just say yes to that today. You can experience and explore the renewing of your mind. So I want us to look at one of the main passages here as we get going on the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. And I want you to notice how often you see the word mind or understanding or thoughts as it appears here. Then the words will be up on the screen as well. Flip, 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 go the pages. I can hear them. It's good. 1 Corinthians 2 at verse 9. Here's the word of the Lord to us. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they're discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to mere human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct Him? But we together, have the mind of Christ. We'll come back to that passage, but I want you to flip over to Romans chapter 12 at verse 2. This is one of my most favorite verses in all the whole Bible. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's possible to have your mind renewed by God. When Paul talks about it here in Romans 12, he's saying, don't let yourself be conformed or squeezed into the pattern of the world's thinking. Don't be shaped by the world's thought patterns, but be transformed, and that word means a complete inward change. We get the word metamorphosis from it. Be transformed by the making new of your mind. So the renewal of the mind is central to this whole aspect of living by faith. And once our minds are being renewed, we can step into great realms of God's will for our lives. I'm sure all of you want that. And I think you just boil it all down to this, that if you change your thinking, you can change your life. If you cooperate with God as He speaks to you, as He leads you into the changing of your thinking, your behavior will follow suit. Sometimes we get it backwards. But that's really the biblical way of change. Change your thinking, and it will lead to a change of behavior. And I don't think we should be puzzled at all about this need for renewal, because even in our own lives, aren't there lots of things that need renewal all the time? Your credit cards need renewal every, what, 2 years, something like that? I lose track. They just come in the mail, cut the old ones in half, right? Here's your new PIN number. For goodness sake, don't give me any more PIN numbers. I can only handle two, and they're the same. Your credit card needs renewal. Your driver's license needs renewal. You get to that 5-year mark. Some of you are getting older, and you're like, I don't want my picture taken in public anymore. Your teeth need renewal every now and then. Maybe you should apologize to your dentist that you've not been participating in the renewal of your teeth program. Your iPhone needs renewal every now and then. Hey, this summer I bought a new iPhone, iPhone 6. My wife and daughter talked me into it, and they got new iPhone 6s too, same time. So I got the iPhone, playing with it, getting used to it, thinking, good, I don't have to worry about any updates for a long time, right? I got it in like June. By August, they're texting me, oh, there's a new operating system for you. I'm like, what? I just bought you. How do you need renewal already? I don't get that. There's all these things that need renewal in our lives. And let's be honest, churches need renewal, right? Churches need renewal. Believers need renewal. Our souls need renewal, and our minds need renewal. The mind is very, very important to the whole experience and encounter with God that we're called to. That's all based in salvation. And think about the mind for a moment. Think about your mind and realize that God made it. It's not something you evolved into. It's not something that you just sort of decided one day, I think I'll put a mind in my brain and make it work. No, it's something that God gave you. It's all part of being made in His image. God also has a mind. And so we reflect what He's like in some way because we can think. We have thoughts. So does God. Your mind is able to be creative and reflective and considerate. You can choose. You can anticipate the future. And that's all because of the way God has made your thinking. I think that we're like no other creature on the planet. We stand apart above all other species, well, except one known as the family of cats. I've been doing a little bit of research on cats. And you know when cats look at you at home, they just look so quiet, and they pretend to be so calm and so perfect, you know? You guys are awake, aren't you? Even the 9 a.m. people got that. That's not bad. You know, your cat just looks at you, and you think, oh, what a nice cat. You know, it's brain dead, but it's nice. And then on YouTube, you can watch videos of what happens when the owner leaves the house, right? And they put a video camera up in the corner, and the cat knows he's alone. Do you know what they do, those cats? They get into all kinds of creative thoughts. They walk on the casserole on the counter, right? They play the piano. With their paws, they push expensive vases off the shelf and watch them smash. They torture goldfish, and so on. So there are other species that have unique minds, but ours is better than cats, okay? We are on another realm, just in case you're twittering that out, right? we have better minds than cats. Intellect is a gift from God to you, and our faith has intellectual elements to it. We should relish that. We should appreciate that and enjoy that. Christianity is not a check your brain at the door type of faith. However, we will see also in the scriptures that our minds are capable of things beyond the intellectual realm. And in the passage I just read, it says we can think with God. We can have God's kind of thoughts. We can receive from God mysteries and things and messages that he is actually sending to us. Let's go back to it. 1 Corinthians 2 at verse 9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us. There's the word for revelation. God has revealed these things to us by his Spirit. So there are some things that you can receive from God that are beyond human intellect and comprehension. Our minds were made to receive things from God. Think about a radio and a transmitter, right? Back when I was a kid, you had these little radio clock radios. You would set the dial, right? And you could turn the knobs and you could tune in to a station. The radio waves are sent out. And if you caught onto the right station, you got a song. And I think that our minds are like that. We are supposed to tune our minds into what God is saying to us. And he's speaking all the time. Our minds should be dialed in to the revelation that God gives us in his word and by his Spirit. Philippians chapter 4 talks about the peace of God that surpasses human understanding. And it says that this peace can guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And it's a peace that doesn't make sense in the human realm. They go, why are you so at peace? You've just had a death in your family. You might be going through this. You might be going through that. You go, I don't know, but it's just the peace of God. It surpasses all human comprehension. Our faith lays hold of that. And our minds are involved. But sometimes God is doing something in our lives beyond the realm of the intellect. So I'm just curious, have you picked up any messages from God lately? As you tune in your mind to listen to him in his word or by his Spirit. And we're really growing in the realm of the prophetic as a church, which is awesome. And learning how do we understand God speaking to us prophetically through words of knowledge and words of wisdom, through dreams and visions and so on. And many of you are learning how to do that. That's great. And of course, we've got the scriptures to guide us in all that so that we know how to discern and how to weigh things out and how to determine if that's part of the will of God. But God is a God who speaks. And I want to say this about our minds at the very beginning here. We need to realize this, that our minds make great servants. They're meant to be in surrender to God. God did not design your mind and put it in you so you can live independently from him and think your own thoughts apart from him. He actually wants you to be thinking his thoughts. The mind is a great servant. It should be in surrender to Jesus and to God. And the mind is also a terrible master. This happens when people who maybe aren't yet in the kingdom, or they are believers who aren't experiencing the renewing of their minds, they develop thought patterns, ways of comprehension that are not in surrender to God. And then what happens is they become the ultimate judge of what is true and what is right. That's a very dangerous position to be in. Some people get locked into fallen patterns of thought based on logic, rationalism, and other such ways of perceiving things that are from the broader culture. God wants to work with our minds. God realizes that there's something to be done with our minds. He calls our minds into a renewal pattern. We need to surrender them to him. And as we think about our faith as it relates to the intellect, I want to share this with you. I mentioned it a couple of messages back, that it's not understanding that leads you to faith. A lot of people think that that's how it works. You study, you learn, you look at the Bible, and then you go, oh, okay, I think I'm going to decide now what to believe. It's not understanding that leads you to faith. It's the opposite. It's faith that leads you to understanding. And let me just share that with you from a book here, Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 3. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. By faith, we understand. As one theologian put it, our believing is really faith that is seeking understanding. So we come to a persuasion in our soul, in our spirit, and we say, God, I'm going to believe this to be true, and now I'm going to seek understanding which corroborates with what you've said. Faith precedes understanding. Understanding is important. It's part of the journey. But if we set it up the other way, we will not enter into the faith that God calls us to. And our minds need renewing. Why is that? Well, there's things like intellectual pollution, kind of a toxic poisoning that goes on in the broader culture. There's this thought patterns that exist in human society, and they come at us from all kinds of angles. All of that stemming from an anti-God, materialistic, humanistic worldview. So that just happens all the time. You know, buy this and you'll be happy. You know, have this vacation and you'll feel alive and so on. And then we're also affected by sinful patterns in our own minds. We can allow patterns of negativity or resistance to God to be set up in our thought life, and if we don't deal with them, they nullify our faith. It can happen. And it's amazing how our feelings follow as a result of those things that we believe. If you want to see a real change happen in your life, though, start with your thoughts. Start with what's going on in your mind. Bring that into the light. Let God show you what thoughts He wants to place inside of you. And there are ways of thinking that we bring along with us from our past, from our homes, from our upbringings, from our personal experiences. Some of them are good. Some of you grew up in a home that gave you some great things to inherit. And your thoughts have been shaped by the way your parents did things or said things. And some of that's really awesome. Sometimes, though, we pick up things in our upbringing that aren't great. And we end up with these ways of perceiving reality that aren't healthy. So just examine your self-talk when that happens. What is it that you say out of your mouth when no one's listening to you? What kind of things are you proclaiming that come out of your lips? If it's things like this, I will never know freedom in my life, then you've allowed some kind of a lie to take up root in your thinking. Or I'm freaked out by other people. I can't handle people. You have surrendered your mind over to a realm of isolation. Or this one, I don't do criticism well. Or I bite a lot harder than I bark. Or I don't get mad, I get even. Whenever these sort of things are rolling around in our mind, and sometimes we speak them out loud, they show us that there's a renewing work yet to be done. The mind is in a realm of real spiritual battle. The enemy can come at you, try to deceive you in your thought life. He can whisper to you. He can show you things. He can even put some thoughts in front of you to think. And if you're not alert and listening to God, you can easily tune in to His voice and not the Lord's. We can deal with these things, though. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you can take a look at that passage. Paul talks about the incredible advantage that we have in the area of the thought life. We don't have to succumb to any of these fallen ways of thinking. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll just give you a moment till you get there. And this one is worth really unpacking for a moment. He says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And that word stronghold can be translated fortresses. And in the context, it's talking about a bunker in your mind that the enemy has built, in which he, through a lie or through a temptation, has somehow gotten into your thought life. And when that happens, it says, we have power to demolish those strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Wow. This is how powerful that weapon is for you. You can take captive every single thought that is going on in your mind and make it obedient to Jesus Christ. That's the renewal of the mind. And there may be days when you really have to exercise this. There may be months when you're going through difficult times at work or in your family and you go, oh God, I don't even know what to think anymore. Watch out, because in those vulnerable moments, the enemy can deceive you. And if we're alert to his ways with the weapons of our warfare, we can rid our minds of strongholds. We also need renewal in our minds because they're not automatically renewed at our conversion or our regeneration experience. When you come to Christ, when you're born of God's Spirit, your nature changes, your heart changes, your identity changes, your mind actually changes too. But the patterns of your mind before you were a Christian continue to exist. In my own life, I remember that when I was 19 years of age, I became a follower of Jesus. Had a powerful conversion experience, an amazing encounter with God. And I knew that God was in my life. I knew that he had forgiven my sins. I felt brand new. And by day three of that experience, I also knew my mind still was thinking in old patterns, old ways of perceiving things and dealing with people. And I realized I've got to get on this journey of the renewing of the mind. And for the first 2 years of my brand new Christian life, God did a lot of mind renewal inside of me. It doesn't stop, though, when you're a new Christian. You can be a believer for 10 or 15 years, and guess what? You need the continuous renewal of your mind. Because it's so easy to just give in to the thoughts of this world or to things that are happening to you and to rule out God and say, I guess it doesn't work. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55. There's a great passage here. I want us to look at it a couple times. It's really a passage on renewal, and it would be worth praying over our church. Some of you on our prayer teams, you may want to take this chapter and pray it over our church as a ministry of intercession. It's all about renewal. And it talks about the difference between our thoughts and God's thoughts. So look at Isaiah 55 at verse 6. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is so clear in laying it out. His way of thinking is completely above human ways of thinking. And when we surrender our minds to God, when we say, God, we don't want to have this gap between you and us, we're well on our way to the renewal of the mind. And there's rewards for doing it. For instance, you can actually know God in your mind. You can meet him there. The Bible says you can love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's assurance in your faith. You can have a life of peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, you will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is fixed on you, for he trusts in you. There's peace for your life if you fix your mind on God. You'll have something to contribute and to share and to use in the conversation of spiritual growth, and you can do the will of God. Right after Paul says that our minds need to be renewed, he says, then you can test out God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So it's worth the effort on our part to move into the renewal of our minds. Now, something that Jesus said, I think, helps us move a little further down the track here. He said this in John 8:32. He said, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. What's the result of knowing the truth? Not just more doctrinal information about God. It's freedom. So what good is it if you know a lot of doctrine and theology, but if in your life there's no victory, there's no peace, there's no power to deal with your circumstances? What good is it if you're scripturally correct all the time, but your heart is cold, you have no compassion or love, and you don't hear God's voice when Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. True faith is actually an encounter with God. And we can put it this way, faith is experiential. Don't get nervous on me here. Faith is really experiential. It's participation in God. It's enabling us to know him in an intimate way. It's not just knowing about God. We do know some things about God. Our minds need to grasp things. We need to have certain handles of doctrine and theology. That's all good. It's necessary. But we also need to realize that the goal of our faith is not just to know about God, but to know him. To know him. Ancient Eastern thinking shows us, this is the world of the Bible, that knowledge is not separated from experience. Knowledge is not detached information about God, not in the biblical sense. True biblical knowledge is something you enter into, you believe into with heart, soul, mind, and then you encounter God. Look at Romans 10:17. I love this verse. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Notice it says, faith comes from hearing, not having heard. Jesus, when he was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hearing is the posture of faith. And hearing implies an openness to God, a surrender to God, not just relying on certain statements about God that are true, but saying, oh God, you know, faith comes from hearing. So I'm going to be listening to you. I'm opening up my spirit and soul to you. I want you to communicate to me. Faith arrives in our experience when we're in that kind of a posture. Back to Isaiah 55. Hope you got your finger on it. That passage emphasizes it even more at verse 2. Listen, it says, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. God is saying you only really live when you're in a posture of listening to me, when you're hearing from me. So it's not just about a past conversation, because our faith is not a static thing. And yes, there's a doctrinal side to our faith. Yes, there are things that we believe about God, and they are true, and they are authoritative over us. Absolutely. The scriptures talk about the faith that is once delivered to the saints. And so we believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. We believe in the Trinity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in Jesus as fully God and fully man in one being. We also believe that he's the only way to God, that you cannot be saved, you cannot be forgiven of your sins and have eternal life in any other pathway, only through Jesus. We believe that his death and resurrection occurred, and we believe that his second coming is imminent. All those truths we believe in, they are truths about the realm of the kingdom of God. But those truths should lead us also to an encounter with God. And so I'm just challenging you, in case your faith is more in the realm of the cerebral only. If you have only an intellectual faith, you will find yourselves at times lacking assurance, lacking victory, lacking a sense of God's presence within your life. Don't throw out the other stuff. Just add to your life the dimension of God personally ministering to you in your soul or spirit. Jesus put it this way. He said, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. He didn't say, this is eternal life, that you would have a perfect set of doctrinal positions that you can write down and recite. He didn't say that. This is eternal life, that they might know you. And that word know means experiential knowledge. That they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. God has thrown onto the ash heap of human history dozens of denominations. He has done that because they have failed to continue to listen to him. Some of them have great theology. Some of them still confess great creeds and great positional statements on the Trinity. But God's presence is no longer upon them. And he literally throws out denominations that will not continue to listen to the voice of the Lord. All right, some things that we need to be aware of here as we think of the renewing of our minds. There's some barriers that we have to be alert to. And I just want to highlight some of them. First one is sensationalism. Sensationalism is when you live by your feelings. When you live only by your feelings and you don't involve the work of the renewing of the mind, you will have a faith that is mushy and soft. Sensationalism also results in making decisions on your appetites and your physical affections. Paul talks about this in Philippians 3:18. He says there's people whose God is their stomach. In other words, what are we going to eat today? You know, that's the big thing. What are we going to eat, right? It's all about the next restaurant. And then there's another barrier. We can call it rigid rationalism. Can you guys handle a little bit of rationalistic humor? Just a little bit, all right? Here's some rationalistic humor. Question number one. How does a rationalistic girl get her hair done? In big bangs. It's the Big Bang Theory. Origin of the universe. Yeah. I told you it was a hard message. How about this one? Why did the rationalist cross the road? To be sure to see both sides. That's so Canadian. You always got to stand in the middle. We're just paralyzed in the middle, right? Rigid rationalism arose through the modern Enlightenment from the 1700s and on, where a scientific worldview took over all human thought. And it basically goes like this, that man, as an autonomous individual, as his own self, he can rationalize through the laws of logic and decide what he needs to be and what he needs to do. This is all apart from God. Rigid rationalism emerged and has shaped our culture and society. So we tend to overtrust science and undertrust the Bible. Rigid rationalism. Watch out for it. The rigid rationalist says, I'm not going to believe certain things are possible because I want to see them proven. Well, you're just a classic scientist then, aren't you? The challenge with science is it claims to be, you know, sort of in a perfect system where there's no other laws of knowledge at work. But there is. There's other realms of knowledge beyond science. And we live with an eternal perspective, so we're not even worried about just the things on the ground. We're trying to understand the things that are above. But the biblical approach to understanding is not rationalism. Hear me on this. It's not rationalism. It's reason. And there's a difference between those two words. Reason is the weighing out of things. Reason is sort of a moral approach to in which you carefully try to attain to wisdom, looking diligently at things with an open heart in case God is speaking to you. Reason is biblical. Rationalism gets you into trouble. And there are people who, under the influence of rationalism and logic, will not allow themselves to believe in things like miracles. There are rationalists in churches who say, yep, signs and wonders doesn't happen anymore. We're in the scientific age. Well, that's not what the Bible says, sorry. It says that the apostles did this, and the work continued, and the work spread, and here we are as the church still living in the last days. But the rationalists will say there's no such thing as healings. There's no such things as exorcisms. There's no such things as the prophetic. In fact, most rationalists, if they're Christians, will end up becoming cessationists, people who believe all the gifts of the Spirit stopped after the time of the apostles. That's an unfortunate position. And really what's happening is when people are rationalists, they're giving homage to Plato, the great Greek philosopher. Good guy. We should learn from him. He touched on some very lofty concepts. But Plato was not a Christian. And so Platonic thought has just swept over the Western world. And often people's first instinct is, I got to think about that. I got to break that down into a bunch of little parts and see if they all fit together. There's a place for that, but it can't rule you. Another barrier people can put up is called anti-supernaturalism. And often deep down they do that because they've had a bad experience or they've heard of a bad experience. And they say it just can't happen this way. And they're skeptical. Instead of letting the scriptures inform their mind, they go, I heard this from so-and-so. I've been there. I didn't like it, and so I'm going to form my view on what I think as opposed to what the Bible says about something. Let me just say this to you. If you are a follower of Jesus, you will be a person who experiences supernatural things. The presence of God lives in you. Even the word itself is supernatural. And we have Jesus calling us into this life of going after him and letting his name be famous in this world. It's going to lead you to supernatural activities. Here's another barrier. We call it traditionalism. Holding on to a way of expressing Christianity that relies on outward religious performance. The Bible talks about this. It talks about having a form of godliness but denying its power. And Jesus faced this head on. I want you to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 5. There's a story here in which Jesus in his day was dealing with the anti-supernaturalists and the traditionalists. And I'm just going to start on verse 16. You can find your way there as you get there. John 5, verse 16. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And he says some more things to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and Jewish leaders there. And then we pick it up in verse 39. Jesus says this, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." He exposes the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. He says, "I know you study the scriptures. I know you're in the Old Testament day and night. I know you're thinking about the commandments of God all the time. And you think that in the scriptures you have eternal life." But he says, "These are the very scriptures that testify about me. And you're supposed to come to me." Wow. This is Jesus really putting it out there to the religious leaders of the day. And isn't it sad when we see in our times people who are like those Pharisees, who are all about the doctrinal knowledge of God and laying hold of great theological truths and principles. And there's a place for laying hold of them. But there's people who boast in that, and they get arrogant in that. And their lives are no different. Their minds haven't really been renewed, even though they're in the Bible all the time. That is a great irony, I think. People that study the Bible voraciously but don't change. Have you met any? I have. They're usually quite unreasonable. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. They should take us to him. And I think for some people, we have to say to them quite honestly, don't worship the Bible, please. Love it. Surrender to it. Submit to it. Digest it all the time. Use it. Be a student of the Bible. Don't worship the Bible. It'll mess up with your faith if you do that. So how can I renew my mind? How can I actually take some steps into the category of renewal? Let me just give you a couple things here. First of all, soak it in the Word of God. Jeremiah 31, 33. God says, "I'll put my law into your minds." We are a people of the book. Amen? We are people of the book in this church. We believe that this is the written word of God, inspired by God, authoritative in all matters of faith and doctrine, practice and lifestyle. This word is over us, and we need it. We need to soak in that word all the time. And then secondly, we can get renewed in our minds when we submit our minds to the Holy Spirit. And that's a huge need for some Christians. They haven't done that yet. They get the word part, but they miss the spirit part. They need to submit their minds to the Holy Spirit. And just take a look at these words on the screen from Romans chapter 8 at verse 5 through 7. It says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." And you can carry on from there if you look at the rest of the verses. The point is, We need the Holy Spirit to govern our thinking. Have you ever asked the Holy Spirit to fill your mind? That'd be a great thing to do today if you haven't done it yet. I pray for that regularly. Holy Spirit of God, just fill my thoughts with your presence. Just filter out anything that shouldn't be there. Come and dwell in my intellect. I surrender it to you. Third thing we can do, renounce all lies. It's so easy for the enemy to whisper to us things that we get deceived with. We've got to be on guard against that, and we need to renounce lies when they hit us. Lies like, you'll never be solid in your faith. You'll never understand the Bible, really. Or you'll never get victory over this sin in your life. Those are lies. And we have to realize they come from the source known as the Father of Lies. Another thing we can do is obey God quickly. This is when we get out of the habit of a detached way of thinking, right? Obey God quickly when he speaks to you. If we don't do that, we end up going home and going, I don't know, I've kind of lost the sense of urgency about this. I'm going to pick it apart. And God's like, I wanted you to change back then. I wanted you to change when I spoke to you. And now you're analyzing what I've said to you. Remember that our behavior will change when our thinking changes. Here's another way we can renew our minds. Refuse to tolerate inauthenticity in your faith. Start that today. Just say, no more gap. Lord, your word says this, and my experience is this. By faith, I'm asking you to close the gap. I want to be who I should be. I want to live the way I'm supposed to live. If someone says, I believe in something, but they don't practice it, you have to question their faith, right? If someone says, I believe in healing, but they never ask God for that, they never hope for that, or even expect that, maybe they don't really believe in healing at all. If someone says, I believe in tithing, I'm strong on tithing, I really believe in it, but they don't tithe, there's a gap there. So biblically, we only really believe the parts of the Bible we obey. Wow. Isn't that what James said? He said, show me your faith by what you do. Yeah, let's look for authenticity in our lives. And then we can renew our minds also when we repent. This is a good word, by the way. And when I say repent, I bet some of you go, oof, right? Because you've heard the word used in certain contexts. Repentance is a great word. And in Greek, it means to change your mind. It's the word metanoia. It's changing the way you think. Here's a new contemporary expression of it. Shift your paradigm. Shift your paradigm, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change your thoughts, because God is calling you to follow him. When John the Baptist says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, he was saying, change your actual thinking. And if you change your thinking, as you know, you will change your life. Repentance leads us into that kind of change. We might need to repent of sensationalism, rationalism, anti-supernaturalism, or traditionalism, or something else. Finally, how can you renew your mind? It's by living from above. Living from another realm, by faith. And we heard a fantastic message on this just 3 weeks ago from our friend Doug Balzer. If you haven't heard it yet, if you're away that day, I encourage you to go on our website and listen to the message on the enthroned life, Living from Above, by Doug Balzer. And I want to quote a passage that goes with this truth. It's from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says this, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Set your minds on what? Things above. Now, if you're a mechanic, just be careful with that. We're trusting you to fix our cars, too. It's not saying don't be effective in this life. It's saying that the governing paradigm of your thought needs to be on things above. What are the things that are above? It talks about it in Colossians. It talks about the triumph of Jesus' cross over all principalities and powers. It talks about the fact that we are seated and raised with him in heavenly places. It talks about the truth that we've been transformed from darkness into light. It talks about our identity. And it's saying, live from above. Live from the realm of the kingdom of God, which is continuously advancing in this world. Set your minds on that realm. And you will see your faith grow like never before. Let's stand together.